Today, we've got another ex-cop on the podcast, co-interview with the Wild Man, Harry Miller. He's been in the news a lot because he was visited by the Thought Police for doing a tweet. And now he's banned for life from Twitter. And we're going to get to that. But first, Harry, can we just ask, how old were you when you signed up for the force?
It was, it was ages ago. It was when God was still a boy. So it was sort of the late 80s and lasted until the early 90s. So not very long. The reason being was I've always done really, really badly at being at the bottom of any sort of pile. And the pile above you in the police is quite a big pile. So I figured that it was going to take me a long time to become Home Secretary. And therefore, I was always going to have a boss. And I didn't much like it. I liked all the rough, tough stuff. I liked all the sort of chasing around in police cars and you know, interviewing and fighting. Necessary fighting, not unnecessary fighting, obviously. Yeah. I would not enjoy that at all. But yeah, I enjoyed all that sort of stuff. But, oh God, just having that many bosses above you, I just couldn't be bothered.
So going in, what was going through your mind? Were you idealistic? You're setting out, you know, to do good in the world.
I was bored. I was just bored. I didn't really have a, you know, some noble, you know, watched too many Columbos, a thing, too many Sweeneys. I don't think I'd taken it that seriously at all. I'm a good lad. I want to do right. If there's a fight going on, and I can see that there's a goodie and the bad and a baddie, and even if the goodie is taking hell of a pasting, I'm gonna go and jump in. I've always been that way. I can't help myself, which is really bad because I'm a really crap fighter. So, I'm a really crap fighter. So yeah. I remember one occasion, there being a right kerfuffle. At midnight, I was in bed and I looked outside and there were two geezers fighting, and I think there was blue lights around, so I kind of figured out it must be the police. So I shot out of bed in me nighty, and not a kimono nighty, but it's not like that one that Jimmy Moore fella does. I didn't go outside to beat up foxes in my wife's green kimono. It was nothing like that. So I ran outside about midnight and I saw these two geezers, and I made an instant decision about who the goodie was and who the baddie was. And I dived on this fella and pinned him down, and he said, "That's excellent, mate, but I'm the fucking copper." So I let him go, and then I jumped and dived on the other fella, and ka-ching. That was that. No foxes, no kimonos, no foxes.
So what was your entry-level position in the police and what
they're all area? Right. Okay, the entry-level is always, I don't know whether it's changed, but it was always you go in as police constable.
Constable.
Yeah, always. It's not like the army. In the army, you can go in as an officer, but they don't have that class. Maybe they do now, actually. I don't know.
So for our American viewers, can you explain police constable, what that means?
Police constable, it is the lowest of the low. We get the crappiest uniforms, and you do all the really boring, crap police work. Everything from ticketing people to arresting people and interviewing people, all that kind of boring stuff. But it wouldn't be interesting people, like, you know, interesting criminals like you, Sean. It wouldn't be anything interesting like that. That would be handled by you know, CID, or, you know, not mere minions like us. We were always sort of tasked to go and arrest somebody down at the local Asda because they'd put too many eggs in the pocket or something.
Fighting outside nightclubs at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, fighting outside nightclubs, all that kind of good stuff. It was, yeah, and you know, death notices, and
yeah,
you know, somebody's passed away, somebody's died, knocking them up, going around and seeing them, sorting out hangings, and I mean, I was pretty crap. I was fairly crap. I remember one time going to a hanging in Grimsby, Cleethorpes Way, and I realised that about 3 weeks later that I got a vital piece of evidence, the bit that he'd hung himself with, in my pocket. And that one right clever of me. So
talk about gallows humour.
There was me and another cop one night. We were supposed to be going around to do a death message. And we both got the giggles.
What is the death message for?
Knocking on somebody's door at 3 a.m. saying, "So sorry to tell you, but you know your mate's died or what have you." God. It's really serious, horrible, horrible stuff. But there's definitely a gallows humour. And I remember going up, and every time we pulled up, one of us would start laughing. And it's not because you're heartless. It's because you're shitting yourself.
Yeah. Like a nervous laugh.
Yeah, it is absolute nervous laugh. So you drive around the block again, then pull up, and then it'd be... And away, away, away. I think we must have gone around about 3 or 4 times.
Done it at funerals.
It's
like sort of, you're nervous, and you don't... You start laughing.
It's not nice, is it?
It's not nice, no.
No, it's really not nice. I remember on one occasion, in fact, I think it was the same occasion with the guy that had hung himself, and I got the evidence of his hanging in my pocket. We'd gone around, me and my sergeant, we'd gone around to knock up, I think it was his sister. And the sergeant had said to me, "Now then, PC Miller, I think, have you ever done a death message before?" And I said, no, I haven't. He's right, well, you can do this one. It'll be very good for you. So I was absolutely cacking my pants about it, obviously, but I've got a sergeant there, so I've got to do my job correctly. So we knock on the door about 3 a.m, and eventually the light comes on, and this woman appears with her husband, and she opens the door, and she says, Is it my brother?" And my sergeant goes, yes, ma'am, unfortunately, it's your brother. And she bursts into tears. Oh, my God, no. I knew something like this would happen. And I'm thinking, fantastic, she already knows.
I don't have to tell her.
So my sergeant then said, I'll just take the husband into the other room to get a statement from him, PC Miller, if you can just make this lady a cup of tea. And so I was busy making the tea, and then she just looked at me and said, "Can I ask you, officer, is he badly hurt?" And I'm thinking,
oh, shit.
Oh, no. So I just went, "Worse than that." She said, "What? Is he dead?" I said, "How?" And I just said, "Hung himself." So I was like, this is going really, really bad. This is going. And then she sort of like burst into tears. And so, that was my introduction to death messaging. I was a bit shit at it, really.
So to become a police cadet, do you have any training?
Oh, it's not a cadet. No, you don't. There's no cadets.
I mean, constable.
Constable.
Are you a cadet before a constable? Do you have to go through a training program?
Yeah, you have to go through a training program. Yeah, you have to go and, back in the day when it was proper training, we had, I think, 10 weeks up in Akeley Heads in Durham where we learned everything from square bashing to doing riots and law, and it was proper training, and every now and again they'd send you back to your local station, and you'd be given a tutor constable who would take you round the streets, and you would combine learning on the job with learning in the classroom. A lot of law, a lot of procedure. So it was done properly. It was done really, really well, really properly. I loved all of that. Absolutely loved it.
You're higher up than a community officer, though, aren't you?
Well, no. Where you are with the community officer? The community officers, there are PCSOs now. Well, we didn't have them when I was a cop.
Yeah,
and I believe they are paid officers.
Yeah, but they can't put hands on you or anything, can they?
Well, they can, because the police in this country operate, generally speaking, as regular citizens. They are regular citizens who have given up their time to do what all of us as citizens ought to be doing. And for that, they get, I'm going to say constipated. I'd probably get constipated. Well, they get compensated. Okay. But the majority of arrests and powers that police have, they're known as any person powers. They are the sort of powers that you and I, you know, if you and I or a store detective or what have you, you see something nefarious going on, theft or something like that, you have the power to make an arrest. And that power enables you to apprehend them and get them before a law enforcement agency or a magistrate or whatever as fast as possible. So in this country, the police operate, as a rule, under any person powers. They are then given some additional powers, which of course you have to learn. For instance, they have. Whereas a regular person, if they believe that if a crime is taking place and you believe that this person has committed the crime, you can arrest them. Whereas the police, they're able to make arrests on two levels of suspicion. One, I suspect a crime has taken place, and I suspect it may be this person. But essentially, you are operating as a subject, as a citizen. Operating under common law,
has to use minimal force, because it's like, you know, if you caught a burglar coming through your window and you kicked the shit out of him, you're the one getting done for it, aren't you?
And rightly so. I mean, you've got an American audience.
More than half. But
yeah, in the States, you know, you've got this castle. mentality, you know, that
you're trespassing, you're trespassing.
Yeah, if you're trespassing,
yeah,
boom.
You've got to say it three times.
Tony Martin would not have been in any bother whatsoever.
No.
Had he shot a burglar in the States. Now, I'm not advocating that at all. I think the gun laws in the USA are absolutely bonkers, quite frankly. And I'm certainly not advocating for that, but I'm saying for your American audience, it's very different. In this country, we have absolute minimal force for everything.
Yeah.
All of the time. Which there seems to be almost a contract of understanding between the police force, police officers, and the majority of criminals, actually, because there's not that many criminals go around tooled up.
No.
There's not that many officers who are seriously injured. And when you talk about this to American cops, they just don't get it, because their assumption is that everybody's tooled up, everybody's standing on their Second Amendment rights, everybody's got a gun, and so we better shoot or get shot. And you talk to them about how it is in this country, and they look at you like you have lost the plot. One of the things that I love to do, I spend quite a lot of time out in Montana.
Okay.
And Montana is proper gun state. Seriously, you've got everything out in Montana. And one of the things I really enjoy doing is going down to the local gun shop and just winding up the people in the gun shop. I go in there and just go, well, of course, I'm British. In Britain, we don't tend to have guns. And they'll go, gee, man, what happens to you if you come home one night and somebody's there raping your wife and raping your dog? What are you going to do with them? I said, well, the first thing that we do, obviously, is we employ our great British humour. As a rule, that does the trick. if that doesn't work, then we are allowed to use whatever minimum force is necessary. It's entirely it's not like this out here, is it? And they're like, hell no, this is what you want. He pulls down this huge great gun, ka-ching, ka-ching, like two in the head, two in the chest, let the state bury him, and tomorrow you're on Oprah. Oh, you go in every time. They've got a really short guy going every year that I'm there. I go in and just wind them up. So different.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, because I had a shotgun for home protection in America. So you're saying if someone comes in my house now who could have a weapon, and I like outsmart that person and subdue them, I'm going to get in trouble.
No, if you what, with a weapon,
whatever it takes,
as long as it is the minimum necessary, it's got to be the minimum force necessary. It's got to be reasonable. The test is: does the reasonable person? Would the reasonable person think that you used the right amount of force?
So say he comes in with a knife, I somehow get it off him and stab him in the neck. Am I in the shit then?
Probably. Why would you have stabbed him in the neck?
Just to stop him?
Well, if it was to stop him, then, you know, that's an argument worth having, isn't it? But if it was because you thought...
I'm thinking he's going to get the knife back, maybe. If I don't do something drastic, He's going to kill me?
Well, that's all down to, you know, your state of mind at the time, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's in my frigging house.
You're going to be nervous.
I'm going to keep the shit out of him.
Yeah. But the thing
is... You've got the power just to strangle someone.
I have baseball bats and everything all around the house.
Now then, if you've got baseball bats all around the house...
Yeah.
And you're not a baseball player...
Oh, I've got a ball and I've got a glove. In my bedroom.
Right, are they in? Yeah, all right. Okay.
Tell that
to the judge, mate. Tell that to the judge. If you've got...
I do have weapons all around the house. That's a true fact.
Well, he hasn't. He was kidding. any law enforcement officer listening right now from England, he was kidding. And
no, it's just for home protection.
In the States, in your home in the States, right?
Yeah, this was in America.
In your home in the States,
right? He's on about in America.
Yes, in America, okay, of course.
Because were you to have weapons scattered around your house, they would be weapons of offence, offensive weapons or what have you. You can't have them. You cannot have them. You can't keep a baseball bat under your bed just in case.
So the criminal comes in, he's got a weapon premeditated, and you're not allowed to have something there in case that situation arises. That's crazy.
Well, it's a grey area. Maybe the law's changed, but that certainly used to be the case. I mean, you just can't have weapons of offence knocking around your house just in case.
So how many people die in this country because people come in with weapons and then they get disturbed in a burglary and then they just kill the occupant of the house? I bet it must be.
I don't know.
There's a few.
I'm sure there's a few, but I. To be honest with you, I am all for the British way of doing it. I absolutely am. Yeah, I am for the British way of doing it because I think overall we're better in this country than we are in the States. And I spent a lot of time in the States. And, you know, when the answer out in the States is, gee, you've got a problem with your neighbour? Well, were you to blow him away, we would look the other way. That can't be right.
No, there's a lot of extremes in America, but I think your home is your sanctuary.
Yes.
If someone's coming in because I could have a weapon, and maybe you've got your woman in there, you've got kids, you've got a baby, whatever, you know, that person needs to be prepared to die if they're coming in and they're going to threaten your life or your family's life by coming in with a weapon.
Well, of course, the law allows you to use reasonable force, and it takes into consideration your state of mind at the time, the entire circumstances. He takes all of that into account.
Yeah.
But still, you can't have weapons lying around your house just in case. You can't. You just don't do that in this country.
Okay, so I did karate. What if I just choke him
out? So you're saying that you are a lethal weapon?
No. But what if I choke him out? Is that okay?
No, it's not okay. You're allowed to use.
He might keep fighting back if I don't choke him out, and he might harm other people in the house.
Yeah, he might.
You've got to subdue a person, otherwise they're going to be thinking, "I'm going to get arrested now. I've got to get back up and attack this person again."
I'm taking him out, me. I am. I'm trashing him with the baseball bat. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say
in the states.
Now you shouldn't be doing that. You're a naughty boy.
Pink.
Well, yeah, you know, you overwhelm them with the minimum force that is reasonable. That is the way it is in this.
So you tell me then, someone comes in with a weapon, what is the minimum force you would use?
I would use whatever was to hand that I needed.
Okay,
frying pan.
It's all right. So you knock him down with a frying pan.
Yeah.
He's going to get back up, isn't he? He's scared he's going to get arrested. He's scared you're going to hit him again and try and knock him out. He's going to get back up and keep attacking you, isn't he? Or he's going to run out the window?
Well, if he runs out the window, then he runs out the window.
But what if he keeps getting back up?
Well, you keep knocking him out. just keep knocking him out.
But every time you do that, there's a chance he might knock you out.
That's why you're allowed
to, like, da-dong with the frying pan.
you are allowed to use reasonable force. Now, what constitutes reasonable force will differ in every different situation. So that's it. And the police, the law, the judge, they will take into account your state of mind at the time. And if it was reasonable, if your behaviour was reasonable, fine.
I'd kill a child molester on site too. I wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that either in this country, are you? Just not allowed. And this is the thing. Moving the conversation on. I know since my run-in with the police as a non-police officer, I have founded with my mate Rob Jessel an organisation called Fair Cop, and we call it Fair Cop because we think that cops are by and large fair in this country.
I think the old school ones were.
I think the old school ones were fair, and I think the new school ones are fair.
The ones that give you a clip round the head. I used to go to like the football matches, and we used to get into shit and stuff. And like there was a couple of coppers there, they'd give you a clout round the head, go on, fuck off, out the way. Nowadays they're just over the top. They've got the trunks, you know, and the fucking chicken in here and everything. They go a bit. They're brutal. The young cops. Oh yeah, yeah.
You think
definitely? They're not like that, are they?
I'll be honest with you. I have not seen that at all. I have not seen instances of police brutality. Now, just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, of course. But all I know is that the police officers that I know, the police officers that I served with, they're just not that type of person. Just not that type of person. Now, you know, everybody, each to their own.
Yeah.
Each to their own with their experience. I'm not going to say your experience didn't happen or your mates didn't happen. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that in my experience, most bobbies are in it for the right reason and they try to do the right job. They really try to do the right job. And that's why, to bring you back, is why we call ourselves Fair Cop. Because we believe in the fairness of the police. We are entirely supportive of the police. Now, what we are not supportive of is the ideology that the police are being fed that causes them to come and knock on people's doors to check their thinking. That we are against. But that's not down to the individual officer. In my case, it was a young officer who actually, a year ago tomorrow, funny enough.
Well, they're using the power. Power's gone to the head. That's what it is.
I don't think it's the power gone to the head. I think what's gone to the head is a crazed ideology. So, this is what happened with me. Mm. I was out shopping and I was just sitting in the car playing Candy Crush, I think. I got a phone call from my workplace. And my managing director, he's like my partner, and he manages, so he's the managing director. I'm a lazy sod, so I do bugger all. So he manages, that's why he's the managing director. So they've been turned up at work and said, we're looking for Harry Miller. And my MD said, well, who are you? And he said, well, I'm my name's PC Gull. I need to speak to Mr. Miller. And my MD said, well, I ain't going to give you his number, but I'll take your card. And then he rang me up and said, this geezer's after you. You want to give him a ring? So I rang him up. And this is where it got really interesting, because he said, are you Harry the Owl on Twitter? I said, yep, I'm Harry the Owl on Twitter. Why? He said, well, we've had a complaint from somebody down south. I said, all right, yeah, what about? So, well, we believe that your place at Immingham Dock isn't safe for trans people. I'm like, you what? Well, I don't employ any trans people. Ah, yes. We thought you might say that. You don't employ trans people probably because you're a great hateful transphobe and all the trans people are too afraid to come and work for you. Ha-ha! Gotcha! I'm like... He didn't say ha ha, gotcha. That's a lie.
Say something like with George Orwell, isn't it?
Do not jump the gun. Do not jump the gun. So I'm like, right. Well, I ain't got no trans people here as far as I'm aware, but who knows? I might have.
Yeah.
At the time, we were employed about 90 people, so might well be. I didn't know. But I said, one thing I can tell you is we've had no complaints. None at all. We've not had a single complaint. Based on the Equality Act, ever. Not at all. So I don't know what they're on about. Well, you might have. Yeah, that there might be people who you could upset transgender people. I said, what is it that I've done? Tell me what I've done. Tell me what I've done. I said, have I committed a crime? He said, oh, no, you've not committed a crime. I said, right, okay. So what have I done? He said, well, I've got 30 tweets here. And, you know, you better stop it. Like, hold on a minute. I've got 30 tweets. You've told me I've not committed a crime. Yeah. Right. So why are you ringing me? And he said, well, I need to check your thinking. And they were his exact... they were his exact words. I need to check your thinking. Now, the poor guy just got unlucky with me because...
I'd expect Jeremy Beadle to pop out with someone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just don't go with that.
It's got to be a joke, this, hasn't it?
That bullshit. I'm not having that. Like, so, right, so let me get this right. You're a police officer, yeah, and you're ringing me to check my thinking. Yep. I said, have you any idea what that makes you? And he said, nope. I said, well, I'll tell you exactly what it makes you. It makes you the thought police.
Yeah.
And I told him, look, 1984, it is, honestly, 1984, it's a dystopian novel. It's not a police how-to manual, all right? The police weren't supposed to pick up that book and go, wow, great book. This sounds like a great idea. Let's see if we can make it work. Yeah, let's go with this. So he didn't get that. He didn't get that at all. So we went back over the have I committed a crime thing. No, Mr. Miller. No question about you having committed a crime. I said, oh, well, that's really, really good to know. So you've got 30 of these tweets.
Did you bring them?
Yeah, I did bring them. I'll read you out some in a minute, yeah.
Please,
I said, in your opinion, in your professional opinion, which is the one that comes closest to being criminal? The one that is, you know, any further and I'm like seriously getting into criminality. Which one is it? And he said, well, you like to limerick. I went, you are? He says, you like to limerick.
It wasn't all man with a beard.
Well, no, it wasn't even a limerick. This is the weird thing. It wasn't even a limerick. It was, your breasts are made of silicon, your vagina goes nowhere, and we can tell the difference even when you're not there. Your hormones are synthetic, and let's just cross this bridge. What you have, you stupid man, is male privilege. Bum-bum.
That's quite good, that.
Well, yeah, it is. and because I get into trouble for not crediting the writer, that was from the great feminist lyricist and writer and songwriter, Ali B. Okay, I think she's available on YouTube, so go and have a look. But one thing it is not a limerick. But anyway, PC Gull said there's this limerick which is coming closest to criminality. And I said,
so you didn't even say that. You retweeted someone else's words.
I retweeted it. That's all I did.
Why aren't they going to Ali B instead of you?
Well, that is a really interesting one, you know. And I was one of quite a few people who liked or retweeted it, but I think they picked on me because somebody down south, and I don't know who, they're just this person called Mrs. B, the mysterious Mrs. B. Mrs. B,
you're a right wanker.
Are you gonna...
Mrs. B.
We'll be visiting you now.
Mrs. B. was shown my tweets by somebody else, apparently. So they didn't actually find my tweets. They were somebody read my tweets and went, I've got to print these off and take them to Mrs. B because Mrs. B is going to be super offended by these tweets. So that's what happened. They took them to Mrs. B, who found them absolutely, you know, got the vapors over them, and then went on this computer program set up by the Met, I can't remember its name, where you can report hate. You can report hate. So they reported the hate. Now, because at the time, Harry the Owl had not been particularly bright about checking his security, you could quite easily find me in the real world. I'd got the name of my company and various bits and pieces. So I think the truth is they went for me because I was an easy find.
Do you think this is an organised crime against you whereby there's a group of people targeting people like you to get you off Twitter.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So they're playing the system, basically.
So they put it through the Met. The Met go, right, okay, this fella's, the address we've got is in Humberside. We better send it down to Humberside. And Humberside look at it and go, whoa, blimey, look at this. Look at these lyrics. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we better dispatch our police constable onto this. So the police constable rang at my workplace. They looked at the tweets. And then they decided that because they hadn't got hold of me, they would come and make a visit. So they turn up at my workplace. Now, this is quite funny because they say in their statement that it wasn't sinister, the police officer turning up at your workplace, because he was in his civilian clothing. Now, I'm not being funny, but I would rather have a police officer in his normal police clothing turn up, because then we know it's not very serious, really, because he's just a constable. For me, plainclothes police officer spells trouble, because you're a DC, you're something. But regardless, any of that, he turned up and said, I'm a police officer, I want to speak to Mr. Miller.
Well, it makes it more official, doesn't it? You don't get plainclothes constables, do you? So it's like, he's probably higher up, you know what I mean?
Had he turned up in his uniform, people would be thinking, oh, somebody's got a dodgy parking fine, somebody's bumped a car or something like that.
Isn't there a fraternity, though? Like, with you being ex-police?
Oh, they wouldn't have remembered me. God, blimey.
No Masonic handshake you could have done to make it... No.
Oh, well, one, I wasn't there, so I wasn't able to deploy my Masonic handshake, for one thing. Otherwise, you know, do you think we'd be all... You know, if I'd have been able to deploy the Masonic handshake... Well, yeah, seriously. So they dispatched the officer to my workplace, who interviewed my managing director, who then went off, and I then spoke to him, and he was on the phone with me for 30 minutes. Sorry, 34 minutes. Mm. 34 minutes, right? So, over this limerick. So, I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. You don't get to turn up at a workplace and interrogate people with the intention of interrogating somebody about Twitter. You don't get to do that. And he said to me, because he didn't know I owned the company, he said, well, the thing you've got to remember, Mr. Miller, is this, that if your boss finds out you're doing this, you could be in very serious trouble. And I said, well, isn't that ironic? Because he wouldn't have known anything about it until you turned up at my bloody workplace.
You could have got fired for that if it wasn't your place.
Well, this is where it gets super scary, yeah, because of course I could.
Yeah.
Most HR departments are... terrified.
They don't want any.
They don't want anything. All you need to do is say racism, homophobia, transphobia. Well, and they jump a mile. They're terrified of it, and you know, in many cases, rightly so.
One of my friends got like suspended from work, and all he put is, "My boss at my place was being a right wanker today," and he put it on Facebook.
Yeah, you're not really supposed to do that. It probably breaches a company policy that says, whilst employed in our service, you cannot call your superiors wankers on social media.
I thought it was quite fair. Yeah. I think once you're out of work, you know what I mean?
But it's not a police matter, that, is it?
No, it's not a police matter.
So I told the constable, you don't get to do this. That's just not how it works. We don't have thought crime. And he said this, said, I need to contact you because it might escalate. I said, but escalate to what? You know, how does a limerick escalate? Is it going to turn into a Shakespearean sonnet?
If you're not careful? On your head.
am I going to turn into Pamers? How does it escalate? How can it possibly escalate? Now, of course, he couldn't tell me how it escalated, but one thing he was certain was that it might escalate to a crime. And it was his duty and the duty of Humberside Police to prevent that escalation. And that's why they were talking. That's why they were talking to me. And I just told him, look, mate, this is absolute, utter crap pile. You do not get to come and do pre-cog, pre-thought crime with people because they've tweeted something on Twitter that's not a crime. You've said it's not a crime. You don't get to do that. What is going on?
That's why a lot of us people think the police are a joke.
But they're not a joke. They're not a joke. What the problem is, they've been fed an absolute crap pile of bullshit, is what's happened. And I have nothing against the particular officer at all, because I asked him, I said, where are you getting all this information from? And he said, look, he said, what you've got to understand, and he'd got his real sincere voice on. You know, he's like, he got his head tilted sideways. Yeah, you can
concerned.
Tell. Yeah, he's concerned. Yeah. He said, what you've got to understand is that, Mr. Miller, sometimes in the womb, a fetus's brain accidentally grows the wrong body parts. And that's what being trans is. I'm like, hold on a minute. You what? Yeah, yeah. Sometimes in the womb, fetus accidentally grows the wrong body parts. I said, you can't possibly believe that. You're a police officer. What? He said, oh, I've been on a course. Like, oh, well, if you've been on a course then, mate.
That's different.
Yeah, if you've been on a course, that explains it all then, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, that explains it all.
So I do have some trans friends, and they feel that they are women trapped in men's bodies.
Yeah, but it's nonsense, isn't it? There's no such thing as it. No, they might feel they're a woman trapped in a man's body. You might feel you're Napoleon, but you're not Napoleon, are you? And I'm not. Well, maybe you are. Actually, he's gone all quiet. I didn't offend you, did I?
I was just thinking then.
In order to have that trapped in the wrong body theory, okay, and I know a lot of people do feel as though they're trapped in the wrong body. But that needs for you to believe in a gendered sexed soul that is separate to the body, because how can you be trapped in your own body if I believe I am my body? How can I be trapped in the wrong body? Because I am my body.
Yeah.
Now, what might happen is that I might feel as though my body is wrong. And I might look at a woman and think, I feel like that should be my body.
Well, that's just psychological.
It's not a reality.
No, it's not a reality.
But it's being taught to the police that this is a real thing.
That's just a lot of bollocks, isn't it?
I'll tell you what. If you believe that, you are absolutely at liberty to believe that. Your friends who believe they are souls trapped in the wrong body, they are absolutely at liberty to believe that and to argue their case. But, I have the right to say, I think that's nonsense. And you don't have the right to have the police come round to me and tell me that my belief is nonsense.
Yeah, you don't get agree to do with that. Let me give you this case then. So we had a guest on, a very interesting character, Androgyny, who was an intersex person, also ex-police. Androgyny is mostly male, but has a vagina, a penis, and a womb.
That's rare, though. It is rare.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And these anomalies exist. We all know that. But by the same token that we know that a dog is a four-legged mammal, just because we find a three-legged one born with three, we don't change the definition of what a dog is, do we? We go, right, okay, we've got a three-legged dog here. That's an anomaly. But the correlation between people who are truly intersex and those who are transsexual, I don't personally get them.
Okay, I get gays and I get lesbians. But I don't get people who are clearly men thinking they're women. I mean,
no, neither do I. Neither do we.
It's weird
because my good friend Posy Parker, she's someone who you should have on the show. By the way,
I watched some of hers. It came on after yours. Yeah, I watched on YouTube. Yeah, I'd love to have Posy on.
Posy is a genius, actually. But I think it was in Liverpool actually that she put up. Was it in Liverpool where she put up the sign? Woman, adult, human, female. And it was treated as a hate incident.
God.
The definition, yeah. And the advertisers took it down because of the pressure from trans activists. That is the word woman, noun, adult, human, female, which is lifted directly from the dictionary, is classed in some quarters as hate speech. And the actual police, are enforcing this.
Well, call me old-fashioned, but wasn't the purpose of the police to gather evidence against person A who's harmed person B, and then when they got enough evidence, arrest that person because they've actually committed a crime? Well, how's it gone from that? to what you're talking about?
Evidence, schmevidence. Because if you look at the hate crime operational guidance issued by the College of Policing in 2014, it says that for a hate crime or a hate incident to be a hate crime or a hate incident, get this, no evidence of hate is required.
And you have to have a victim who's distressed to come and testify against you and say, this person's done this and I'm going to get up in court and testify
against them. Nope, it can all be done anonymously through this computer and the police will take it. And it doesn't even have to be the victim. You don't even have to have a victim. This is the thing.
You don't have to have a victim.
No. All it needs is somebody, a third person, to perceive that what you're doing is transphobic, and the police will take that seriously. No evidence required, by the way. Yeah. And that's what he says. No evidence required. And that's why we are currently awaiting judgment, because we took the College of Police to the High Court, and we are now in where we're waiting on Justice Knowles to decide whether you can have hate crimes and hate incidents that require no evidence. And that's what he says. No evidence is required. So,
there's got to be some senior coppers up there who think this is absolutely ridiculous. Let's stop it. It's a waste of the policeman's time. Surely.
Oh, yeah. I've been contacted by a lot of coppers. I've been contacted by people in the College of Police who we've taken to court to say, we hope you win. We really hope you win.
Yeah.
Because this is absolute nonsense. We're fed up of teaching it. We don't believe a word of it. But our guidance is being written by pressure groups and academics who know nothing about policing and know nothing about the real world at all. And they are forcibly pushing into policy that the police are treating as though it's law all this absolute nonsense.
It's just making a joke of the police, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I went out with a police officer friend in the south of England. We went and had breakfast, and I was shown some documents, some internal police documents. And you can't believe what it says. It says that in a custody suite, if you get arrested on a Saturday night,
yeah,
okay, and they think that you've got a wrap of heroin around your bell end, okay, all you need to do...
It was crack you used to have around your bell end, wasn't it?
Not yeah, it was crack.
Crack was, yeah, well, yeah. All you need to do is stand there and go, I'm a woman. And then you then have the right to be searched by a woman. Not this ugly mother... You know, yeah. Police sergeant stood there.
So you've got a woman rubbing around your belly.
And if the woman says no, if the woman officer says no, that's a bloke.
Yeah.
They are in trouble.
Now, has that actually happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen to that, criminals. Absolutely.
Now, it gets...
We're all going trans.
It gets even worse, because it says that you, as the prisoner... have the right to identify in whatever gender you choose and to be searched by someone of the gender of your choosing. So, now then, you're just thinking, you're old school, but you're just thinking, right, man who thinks he's a woman who says he's a man.
Yeah.
That is so last year. That is so last decade. Because now we have an infinite number of genders. So, in the official police guidelines.
I want to tie lady boy, please.
It talks about third gender. What the hell is third gender? It talks about agender. It talks about straightforward transvestites. And then if you go further into other documentation, it talks about smoke gender. Can you tell me what smoke gender might possibly be?
I've got no fucking clue. My head is, you got male, you got female, you got gay, you've got lesbian, and you've got, like, lady boys.
Gay
and lesbian.
Yeah, I understand.
That's simply about who you want to go to bed with, isn't it? Yeah. That's about who you fancy.
Yeah.
Trans identity is saying, oh, it's nothing to do with who you want to go to bed with. That's to who I am. It's no place. This the LGB thing. Fine.
You're born with a dick, you're a man, and you're born with a fanny, you're a woman. That's
right.
It.
Okie dokie, you've just committed a hate incident right there and then. Right there and then. Because you or me or any of your listeners can report you for saying that, and the Merseyside Police, and the Merseyside Police, by the way, are absolute advocates of this nonsense. They can come, in all seriousness, I am not bullying you at all. You can end up with a hate incident against your name. You can end up with a full police investigation, and that can end up on an enhanced DBS check if you apply for a job somewhere.
Bring it on, motherfuckers. I have my opinion and I'm going to stick with it.
You don't want me to edit that out, man?
No, don't, no.
But that is true. This is what we learned, that it appears on a... This is what I've got. I've got a crime record, and I know it's a crime record because it says crime report at the top of it.
Yeah.
Okay, I got this. I put in a subject's access request. Oh, by the way, it took me, I think, 4 months to get the other 29 tweets because they wouldn't let me have them. They just told me, so I didn't know what, you know, what was it that I tweeted.
If you've been accused of something, you're entitled to what?
To know what the evidence is. Yeah, yeah, well, I had to put in a subject access request because they wouldn't give it to me. And when they came back, they were redacted. Absolutely. But I've got a crime report, right? Get this. A crime report. It says crime report.
On
right
something
there.
Non-criminal.
And then you look down, it says offence, trans hate speech. And then you look a bit further down and it says crime, non-crime. What the hell is a crime, non-crime? Seriously, how can you have a crime, non-crime?
I'll be on a crime number on a crime, non-crime.
Yeah, a crime, non-crime. Yeah, it's Schrodinger's crime. It's a crime depending on who's looking at it. It's a crime, non-crime.
Tell me what I mean.
This is Orwellian doublespeak at its absolute finest. It is crime, non-crime. You're not a criminal, but you've got a criminal record. It's not actually a criminal record. It's a crime report. Classed as a crime, non-crime, for an offence.
St. George Orwell's wrote the police manual.
Yeah, so that's exactly it. That is a document. Now, when the judge...
So you've got a criminal record now?
I've got a criminal... Well, no. I've got this nebulous thing, which is a crime, non-crime criminal record.
But if you go for the interview, could it pop up?
Yes. There's the thing.
That's
a bastard.
How could you do that?
Well, exactly. Now then, get this. I thought when I went into this...
That's prejudice to you, isn't it?
I thought when I went into this that there would be me and then there'd be a handful of other people who've suffered this nonsense.
Yeah.
I think it was the Telegraph 2 weeks ago, on the basis of what we've uncovered, revealed that there are 89,000 non-crime crimes in the police forces of England.
How much does
and
that
Wales.
Cost the taxpayers? Millions.
Absolute millions, yeah. But each one of that 89,000, okay, has the potential to ruin a career. Because if you decide you want to go work at a school or a charity or something like that, and they need an enhanced DBS check, that non-crime crime can appear on the enhanced DBS check. And there is nothing you can do about it. Well, you can. You can support Fair Cop because we are pulling the whole shit show down.
Well, I think
that's the plan.
I think
anyway.
The 8 years I did in America for fucking being a ringleader of a criminal enterprise would probably top that one, like.
All right, so this isn't like the make or break one, though.
No, this ain't the make or break one.
Okie dokie.
This is what I'm saying, like, fuck you. If you want to come and get me for fucking having me your opinion, you might as well come and get me because I'm going to
stand on my own opinion. Yeah, but that's how crazy it is. So we're in this position where you've got the judiciary, you've got the law, and then just to the side, you've got this other thing going on, which is not subject to the law, it's subject only to the police. That's not subject. There's no appeal at the courts. If you want to appeal it, you've got to do what I did with Fair Cop and go all the way to the bloody High Court and challenge the government and say, what you're doing is illegal. You cannot have non-crime crime. You can't have hate incidents recorded without any evidence. And they're not recording it with, they don't go looking for evidence because the thing says no evidence is required. All it takes is you to say, I think that he was being hateful because that person over there is gay, or that person over there is trans, or that person over there is black, or that person over there, you know, whatever. Now, interestingly, really interestingly with all this is, in the Equality Act, Twin City Equality Act, you've got 9 protected characteristics. Okay, 9. But what we have with the police, that's been reduced to 5 monitored strands. So they're not bothered about certain of the, some of the Equality Act. Forget that. Forget that. Like, for instance, if you're a woman, forget it. You don't have any protection. None at all. If you're a man pretending to be a woman, you have all the protection in the world because that makes you trans. Now, get your head around that.
I'm going to go trans. You call me Petra from now on.
Petra. Petra's a bloke's name.
Petra the Shem.
You look much, much more like a Siobhan to me.
Siobhan, that's me, Siobhan.
Siobhan, yeah, yeah.
That's a black person's name, though.
Siobhan's, don't be daft.
It is.
What?
What can we go with? Angel.
Angel?
Cricket.
What are you on about, Angel?
Can all the viewers please give me a Shem name to see what we go
with? Can you please put Peter's trans name in the comments below? Thank you.
Yeah. It would be cool to have a trans name, wouldn't it?
The trans name that gets the most likes in the comments below will get a free signed copy of Hard Time signed by Wildman.
Yes, I'm not called a fag for a week.
Wilmer the Wild Man.
That's Wilmer the Wild Man.
Yeah, Wilmer the Wild Man. That's it. That's what I'm going for. But to bring about
Wild Wilmer.
Okay, so if you're a bloke who says you're a woman, you get the protection. If you're just a regular woman, you don't. And that's got to be bonkers because, get this, there are 2 women a week killed on account of their sex. 2 a bloody week. And it's been like that for years and years and years. And the hate crime guidance is there to particularly protect vulnerable minorities. But we can't be arsed with the women. We can't be arsed with the women.
Like the ones getting groomed.
But if you're a bloke who says he's a woman, you get all the protection in the world. That, my friend, is lunacy. Absolute lunacy. Now, something else. Your local Merseyside police. I've got pictures of Merseyside police flying the trans flag outside police headquarters. What the hell is that about?
Is that the rainbow?
No, it's not the rainbow one. It's the pink, white and blue one. Because nothing says non-binary like pink and blue, eh? Seriously, they fly the trans flag, right? They do all the pride marches. They actively campaign politically for changes to the Gender Recognition Act, actively campaign for it. Now then, Schedule 1 of the Code of Ethics says that a police officer shall not engage in politics, nor shall they give the impression of engaging in politics. That's what it says. Now, when I look, and when there's a campaign to change the Gender Recognition Act...
Is that all the police forces, is that?
All police forces, yeah. Yeah, they can.
Same as Holton Police Force.
You can't be political. You can't even look. I was chatting to a former Assistant Chief Constable of Liverpool a few weeks ago, and he said when there used to be the Orange Parades out here, their police officers were taught, do not even accidentally march in step to the beat of the drum, because it will give the impression that you're being political. You can't do it as a police officer. You cannot even look like you're being political.
It'd be hard to do that, wouldn't it? Because you'd go with the rhythm, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard. But during it, because this last year the government have been talking about reforms to the Gender Recognition Act, okay? And the police have been actively promoting reform to the Gender Recognition Act. I've got pictures of senior police officers signing pledges to Stonewall. Now, what pledge can you have? What pledge? What are senior police officers doing signing pledges to Stonewall? Because when every officer becomes an officer, they do make a pledge. They make a pledge to Her Majesty. And part of that pledge says that they will operate without fear or favour. Now,
That's clearly favour, though, isn't it?
If you take that pledge seriously, you don't need any other pledges.
No.
Why would you think it's okay to make a pledge to a group like Stonewall who are actively politically campaigning for changes in the law, actively, and you go on the Stonewall website and it says, We are looking for allies to help us change the law. It says allies, and then you see the police saying, we're joining the ally scheme.
God.
We are looking for allies to help change hearts and minds. And then you see the police saying, we're all about changing hearts and minds, raising the flag. And then you look, and on the Stonewall website, it shows police officers with rainbow epaulettes on. And then out on the street, you've got police officers with rainbow epaulettes on. To me, all of that looks political. And it looks political because it is political. But even worse, I've got a photograph of a police officer from Leicestershire with a riot shield coloured in the trans flag. Okay? Yeah. Right, he's posing there with his riot shield with the trans flag in. Now, can you...
Imagine you go to Millfield with that.
Can you imagine... The furore that there would be if there'd been a police officer with Brexit on his right shield.
Oh, yeah.
Or Remain on his right shield. Or Vote Tory on his right shield. Can you imagine that? There would be absolute uproar. But this is the trick, and it's a work of absolute magic by Stonewall. They have convinced the police that this matter is so settled that only a complete and utter ignoramus bigot of the worst kind would not join in the celebration of trans. And it's bullshit. It's absolute nonsense. You can be anti-reform of the GRA. You can say, I do not believe that trans women are women. I believe that trans women are trans women. And they have a right to be protected and looked after at law. They have a right not to be harassed and persecuted. But they don't have any special right. Okay, so you, police force, operate towards them without fear and favour. Just do your bloody job. That's what's supposed to happen.
But equally then, if anything, just treat them equally.
Treat them equally. But the problem is, you look at these documents. I said I went out and saw some internal documents. You look down and you go, right, okay, who's the author of this? And typically there'll be a chief superintendent with a name on it, and there'll be another name. And you go, well, who's this then? They go, well, I don't know. So you do a bit of research. It's somebody from Stonewall. It'll be a Stonewall champion. And what they're doing, they are writing the guidelines for the police. And the police are taking the guidelines and applying it as though it were law. And that is a scary situation. Now, we also have, the police have adopted the Stonewall definition of transphobia. And the Stonewall definition of transphobia is this. Transphobia is if you do not accept a person's person's identity. Okay? So if I come along and say, my identity is milkshake.
Fuck off.
You just committed a trans hate incident right there.
It's ridiculous, okay? Isn't it?
If I come along and say, I identify as two spirits.
Yeah.
And you go...
You've been smoking
Sorry.
Too much crack.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the police have adopted that definition of transphobia and are acting as though transphobia is a thing in the same way that racism is a thing. Now, the reason they've done this is because they got it wrong with Stephen Lawrence.
Can you explain that situation?
Okay, so the Stephen Lawrence inquiry, there was a young lad called Stephen Lawrence, a black guy, who was stabbed at a bus stop by a bunch of white racist thugs. The police response to it was really not very good, and there was an inquiry about it, and the McPherson report. The McPherson report showed that there was institutional racism within the police, that the police had taken the view that black crime didn't matter, the black victims didn't matter, black victims didn't matter, that if there was crime on black people, that it was the black people who were clearly perpetrating it. And McPherson called them out and said, this is nonsense. You've got to put your shop in order.
America's like that. It's a pseudo. I mean, there's far more black people getting shot in America than there's waiting there. They'd rather
And I think McPherson has a very, very valid point. And the truth of the matter is the police were I think, institutionally racist. I think they were. I think there was... Society was racist. So and given that the police are members of society, of course, they would have been racist as well. So McPherson addressed this. And the shock of that, coupled with, you know, you go hence a few more years, and you've got... we've got a film about Alan Turing. Everybody's suddenly, oh my goodness, how terrible were we to gay people? How awful. And absolutely we were terrible to gay people. We criminalized gayness for so long. There was the whole Section 28 nonsense where you weren't able to, Mrs. Thatcher brought in laws that said you weren't allowed to promote gay literature, gay culture. All that. Of course, that's absolute nonsense. He was utterly, utterly wrong.
People were gay bashing, didn't they?
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think because the police had got their arses spanked over Stephen Lawrence and over the whole gay thing, I think they've absolutely overreacted. They've gone to the extreme, and they, with the best will in the world, I think that they think they're ahead of the curve, but they're not. They've been hijacked. They've been hijacked because the trans thing is nothing like the race thing.
No.
And it is nothing like the gay thing. It's not. Because black is immutable. Okay? Your skin colour is absolutely immutable. You can't change it. It's who you are. Your sexual orientation, it's who you are. If you're a bloke who fancies blokes, you're a woman who fancies women, that is it, and that is absolutely valid.
It's acceptable.
But, yeah. But this notion that I can suddenly decide I'm not a man, I am smoke, and you must identify, you must validate my smoke identity, otherwise you are just like those horrible people who stabbed Stephen Lawrence at a bus stop. It's like, come on, just... It's insulting. It's absolutely bloody insulting. And that's why we're against it. But I think that's why the police have gone for this bollocks, because I think that with the best will in the world, they're trying to be right. But in trying to be right, they're getting it so far wrong. And that's why we're here at Fair Cop to say, enough's enough. Let us be at the table when you write your policy. And we will make sure that your policy reflects law and isn't corrupted by pressure groups. That's what our job is.
Yeah, I agree with your job, to be fair, but I think it's the I don't know. It's stupid that you could say that you were smoking. People got to identify that. Everyone should be able to fucking say what they think. I mean, like I said, I understand gay, I understand lesbian, I understand he/she in a way, but I do not understand like trans. I don't understand it whatsoever.
Well, I think you know, to be fair, there are people. There's always been blokes who like dressing up as women, right? That's autogynephilia. They just get off on it. It's their thing. Crack on. Up to you. That's absolutely fine.
You see, that's what you do.
Crack on and do it.
Fuck.
Okay.
Ladyboys.
Yeah, ladyboys.
And then you've got people who are genuinely psychologically dysphoric.
Yeah.
They honestly and genuinely feel as though they are born in the wrong body. But there are anorexics who genuinely, honestly feel that they're too fat. Right? We don't then all go around and go, oh, yeah, you are. You definitely, you are. God, girl, you're massive. You need to stop eating because I'm going to validate your fatness. We go, do you know what? You've got a problem. You've got a problem, and it's our job to help you through the problem, not to join in your delusion.
So people on the, like, my trolls, when they call me fat bastard and that on this, that's classed as a hate crime.
No, because you're just a bloke, and fat is not a protected characteristic. But if you call...
I am spirit.
Hey, hold on a minute. Yeah, hold on a minute. What did we call his name? What was his trans name?
Wilmer.
Wild Wilmer. Right.
I am Wilmer.
Wilmer the Wild Man, right? If you say, look, I am Wilmer the Wild Man, and they're calling me fat bastard Wilmer the Wild Man, and that is insulting, I believe that their motivation is because they hate my trans identity, then you're protected.
Keep with the fat bastard fans.
Yeah, no evidence required. No evidence required. That's what it says. No evidence required. Now, the good news is, well, we are hoping that the good news is that Mr. Justice Knowles, fingers crossed, will rule in our favour. That's what we hope.
Yeah.
And we hope that all that no evidence required nonsense comes crashing to the ground, along with the 89,000 non-crime crimes that have been recorded. And the enhanced DBX checks that have cocked up people's careers. And the fear that people have for speaking the truth. What we want is there to be clear lines in the sand drawn explicitly at law. So we know, okay, this is the line that we can go to.
Yeah.
It's very clear. And we're not going to, if we step over it, then we know we're doing so consciously, we're choosing to commit a crime in exactly the same way that, you know, you see a sign that says 40 mile an hour, you decide to do 50 and the sign was there, that's on you, right? But when we have this situation where the police are in effect coming, you need to slow down. Well, why? Well, you just do. You might break the limit. Yeah, but what is the limit? Well, that doesn't matter. You might break the limit, so I'm just warning you now. And by the way, I'm going to put some points on your license, just in case, because you could end up going to 70. Yeah, but what am I doing? Well, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
You thought you might be able
to. Yeah, what doesn't matter what you're doing. Well, what's the limit here? I'm not going to tell you what the limit here is. But I'm just telling you that, you know, you potentially could break the limit. And you better not do that. And by the way, if your boss catches you, and your boss will catch you because I've just been round to your workplace and told him, if your boss catches you, you could lose your job and your car and everything. How about that then, eh? That is the place that we're at. So what we're looking for is clarity. If, as English people, we are free. That's it. We are free.
I've got a good boss. He won't sack me. I can say what the fuck I want.
Oh, give over, Wilma. As English people, we are free. That is the default position of an English person.
Yeah.
We are free. We don't have a contract with the state. We are free up until the point that the state says, now, for the good of all of us, we must limit freedom here. And it has to be very specific. Okay. You can't have this. Well, it might be, it might not be. You can't have that in English. We are free until there's a clear line in the sand that says you are not free beyond that line. And the only justification for that is because it is for the good of all of us. Okay. And the police have gone so far away from that notion of freedom. They've gone so far away from the notion that we will tell you what the limits are and we will butt the hell out up until the point that you cross those limits. That's what a police force should be doing. It should be policing the limits. Not telling you, I'm not going to tell you what the limits are, but you're getting very close and somebody don't like you, so we're going to have you on a record, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, up yours, pal, from over here. We're not playing those games.
Well, before we can determine whether you're going to be found innocent or guilty.
Oh, no, it's not me whether they're innocent or guilty. It's whether they're innocent or guilty. It's the College of Police who are going to be found innocent or guilty.
We need to hear the 29 tweets.
You can't. Yeah, you can hear some of them.
Some of them?
Yeah, you can hear some of them.
It's hiding
yeah.
some.
Yeah, I'll do some of them. I've got a. Apologies to my wife because I'm going to have to put my specs on. I don't know where my specs are. I'll just have to go with it. Yeah, there's the crime report. Look. Crime report. Does that look like a crime report to you?
Hate incident, transgender.
Yes.
Category, cyber-enabled, yeah. Cyber-dependent. Yeah. Keyword, hate, transgender.
Yeah.
Community safety. It is a non-crime.
Non-crime. Yeah. Not a non-crime crime. That is an official police document. Non-crime crime. Official police document. Non-crime crime.
You stupid fuckers.
How about that? So let's just have a little look at some of the tweets.
So
I've given you one of them, right? I've given you one of them. Yeah. Here's a good one. Who won the 1976 men's decathlon?
I don't actually know.
Well, it was Bruce Jenner.
I was going to say, Jenner.
By calling him Bruce Jenner, you're committing a hate crime because he's now Caitlyn Jenner. And dead naming people is a crime.
Wow.
Well, It's a crime, non-crime.
Dead naming people.
Dead, yes, using.
Do you know about dead naming? Yeah.
No.
Using a person's former name is a non-crime crime.
I never do it on this.
It's true. It's true. It says it here. It says it right here. That's one of the 30 tweets that the police decided to dispatch an officer to my workplace to stop me doing all this kind of stuff. Because mentioning that Caitlyn Jenner was once a man who won the 1976 men's decathlon gold is a hate crime.
We should have a gold for coffee.
A non-crime crime.
What do you think of Caitlyn Jenner?
Well, a fucking cheat.
Bit weird.
Yeah. You can't get gold for running for like a woman when you're a man.
Here's one for you. You remember Ian Huntley? Yeah, the serial murderer.
Yeah.
Well, there was a story. It turned out to be false. There was a story a few months ago that he was thinking about changing his sex, or had changed his sex in prison. So I put, if we asked Holly and Jessica, they're the two girls who were murdered, if we asked Holly and Jessica who murdered them, I imagine they wouldn't say a woman called Nicola.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is a hate non-crime crime. Asking that question is a hate non-crime crime worthy of the attention of a police officer, a police inspector, and the assistant chief constable, by the way, who was also on my case for these terrible tweets of like that. So I'll find another one.
Is that all I'll say? Is that a trans hate crime, or is that a crime against the victims of the family of the deceased?
No, it's not. That's trans, because a trans person or somebody who supports the trans ideology thought that I perhaps might be dead naming Ian Huntley.
You must have really pissed someone off when you were in the force, you know.
No, he wasn't. Okay. There's a writer called Andrew Gilligan who writes for The Times. Okay. Yeah. I retweeted Andrew Gilligan. And that is a non-crime.
What can you read it?
Andrew Gilligan.
Once you don't get done again, by the way.
Oh, I don't care.
Once you have thought, police might come for you.
Yeah, Brighton also boasts what is believed to be the country's first group for trans or gender questioning 5 to 11-year-olds. That's what Andrew Gilligan says. I comment, give me the child and I'll give you the man. The reason there's no critical assessment is this: they're building an army. That is a hate crime, non-crime. A non-crime hate crime. Worthy of police attention. What about that one? Here's one. This is to the TUC. Is Trans Day of Remembrance a thing then, like an actual one? That is a tweet that is designed to show hatred to the transgender community, that is worthy of police attention, and because of that, that will appear on an enhanced DBS check that I am a hateful bigot because I have asked, is Trans Day of Remembrance a thing?
So them fuckers get a fucking day and we can't even have a day for St. George's Day.
You can't even ask the question. Okay, you can't even ask the question. You can't even... Okay, here's one. Here's one. There's a tweet. Somebody had said, gone are the days when Mumsnet was a platform for discussing parenting techniques or bedside beakers of water. Okay, so somebody's criticising Mumsnet.
Yes.
Which is a forum for mums. And I put, I see those evil mums are at it again. In defence of the mums of Mumsnet. That is worthy of police attention, because
that's just sense of humour, surely to God.
Oh, here's another one. Okay. Now we don't know what it is I'm saying this to, because the police have helpfully blanked it out. All right. They've helpfully blanked it out.
KGB report.
Yeah, it is. But this is my comment. This is my comment to whatever it is. I've no idea what it is.
Blackadder.
But this is what I say, okay? Proving once more that Sheffield women know the difference between lads and lasses. That is a hate incident that will get me a crime report and a non-crime crime report and an enhanced DBS check and the assistant chief constable intervening to say, do not do this because this might escalate to a crime. My goodness. He just said, that hateful man just said, that Sheffield women know the difference between lads and lasses. Oh, my God. Call the police.
It just sounds like a comment you'd say if you've watched that.
Hold on a minute.
Bangkok thing. I watched it.
Bangkok? What Bangkok thing?
It's
Ladyboy thing.
Yes,
he's a bit obsessed, isn't he? He keeps talking about ladyboys.
He likes ladyboys.
Nothing wrong with ladyboys.
Go on, what were you saying?
Are you a hate? You like hate crime, do you?
Do I like? No. Go on.
No, there's a program on.
They are fit, some of the ladyboys, aren't
like,
they?
No, it's like tourists when they go to Bangkok, and they have like tourist police looking after them and all that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That comment you said there.
Yeah.
It was something to say.
But get this one right. This is another one where it has been redacted. So I have no idea what it is I comment on. Well, there's a redaction, just so that we're sure. But this is one of the crimes. This is one of the non-crime crimes. All right. And this is what I say. This is my comment. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Okay, drum roll, please. Huh? That's it.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. Question mark.
H-U-H
question mark. Me saying huh is a non-crime crime. Me saying huh is one of the 30 tweets that is designed to cause distress to the transgender community. And if I continue saying huh, that could very well lead to criminality. And because that huh could lead to criminality, they need to dispatch an officer to my workplace and make sure that I stop saying, huh?
I don't know how the fuck I get away with saying things on here then. Jesus Christ.
Another one here, another one redacted one. But I simply put, brave and stunning trans feet. Now, brave and stunning trans feet, how is that hateful? That is literally praising somebody's feet, isn't it? I really don't know. I really don't get it. Here's another one. You know the worst thing about cancer? It's transphobic. Because the comment I'm making is the idea that you're not going to not get prostate cancer because you identify as a woman.
No.
You can't go, oh, I'm a woman now. I only get ovarian cancer. I am free from prostate cancer because I am now a woman. I'm a woman exactly the same as you woman over there are a woman. And to say any different is transphobic. And all I'm saying there is, look, mate, cancer is a transphobe because it don't give a flying shit about what you call yourself. If you've got a prostate gland, it's going to have a go. If you've got an ovary, it's going to have a go. It doesn't care about your gender identity. It doesn't matter at all. But by me pointing out the simple fact that cancer is transphobic.
That's probably the deepest one you've done out of all of them. The rest are just stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've won stupid. How about this one? Yeah. I was assigned mammal at birth, but my orientation is fish. Don't miss species me, motherfuckers. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Why not? If you they're clearly a bloke, okay,
yeah,
can identify as a woman or smoke or third gender or Navajo or agender or whatever it is, why do I have to settle with mammal? Why do I have to stay as mammal? Why do you limit me by classing me amongst all those other mammals when I identify as fish? I like water. I've always liked water. I was born in water, okay? I am a water baby. I'm a Pisces. Don't,
I am, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Do not misspecies me. What's the difference? I can't tell the difference. If I felt like a fish, if I genuinely felt like a fish, would that make me a fish? Would it?
No.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So these are, then there's one here where I'm simply taking a piss out of myself, all right? And you can't really see it because it's like a really shit copy. But I was watching, and I don't like to admit this on a testosterone fueled show like this, obviously. But it was clearly a Saturday afternoon, and I was surfing Sky, and I happened across a Sarah Brightman concert. So clearly, I was very conflicted because I wanted to watch Sarah Brightman because what bloke doesn't? And it was Gillette Soccer Saturday. So I was like, oh, God, oh, God. And I was switching between the two. And I just thought, oh, if my kids could see me now, they'd be going, Dad, that is so Dad. That is peak Dad. Like, big into football, but also big into, like, Sarah Brightman and Celine Dion and things like that. So I simply put, I took a photograph of the screen with Sarah Brightman on it, and I put, currently alternating between Gillette Soccer Saturday and Sarah Brightman on Sky Arts. Proof positive that I'm genderqueer. I was taking the piss out of myself, but no. You can't even take the piss out of yourself because somebody decided that that was transphobic hate. How
offensive to someone when you're taking the piss out of yourself?
you tell me. What gets me is that the police looked at these and went, oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, I'm terrible, terrible. This could seriously develop into a crime. Dispatch a police officer right now. Go to their work. Tell their boss. Find him. Embarrass him at work.
No,
make him
you
stop.
Can't catch
make him
fucking
stop.
Serious criminals, you thick cunts.
His words, not mine. I am pro police. I am pro Humberside police. I just think that they've been given an impossible job where they're supposed to police this lot of crap when there are actual real life crimes taking place. And these people can't do both.
I'd just like to insert a legal disclaimer as well. I'd just like to say at this point of the interview that the co-host's views of the world and my guest's views of the world do not represent my own. I do not have weapons lying around my house ready to kill burglars with. And
oh, you shit house.
You're just going to use minimum force, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. You're going to use minimum force, except in your house in the States where you do.
I'll use minimum force. Chokehold. No snapping of the neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a bat coming.
So that's a selection. That's a selection of my terrible, terrible tweets. Terrible tweets.
All right.
And like I said, the assistant chief constable Scott Young. Put out on the website, the police website, that they had to intervene in order to prevent escalation to criminality.
Oh my God!
Let us try and put some of this in perspective now, because you've jumped from.
You can't? Can you? Can you put that in perspective?
You've jumped from starting out in the police to what I'm later in life. Harry the Owl on Twitter. Where were you at in your life when you started this Twitter account, and what was the purpose of it? Because right now, you've read these tweets, and some people might think, this guy is a flaming transphobe, non-crime, criminal, because all they've heard is what you just said, and some people are so bizarre out there, they may think that is just all you did all day long was just tweet.
Well,
like
fuck what they think.
Yeah. I know,
it wasn't all I did all day long.
That's what I'm trying to get. Let's put it into context. Where were you in your life when you started this?
Okay,
what was it about?
Right. I started off tweeting about football, as you do. Started off just, you know, being ignored roundly by absolutely everybody because who the hell was Harry the Owl? The reason I was Harry the Owl was because I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. So Harry the Owl, very straightforward. And then it was my missus.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Steady now. Steady. It's not too late for me to walk. Hey, do you want me to really, really get up your nostrils?
Go on.
My second team is Man United.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
First match I ever went to was when it was in about 1974 and it was at Hillsborough. It was Wednesday against Man United. It was a 4-4 draw. Cracking match. Wednesday went down to the third and Man United went up to the first.
I'm a toffee. Love Everton.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah, well. Yeah. Are you a football man?
I did support Man U when I was a kid. But then when you go to America, it's baseball, basketball, American football.
Football, yeah.
Get girls' games, basically, that men play. This is
oh, you can't say that.
Girls, what? That's so sexist.
Netball and rounders. God. The men play netball and rounders over there, don't they?
Well, I don't watch that.
That is a non-crime.
I'm a fan of American football. I'm a big fan of American football.
Pittsburgh Steelers is my second team. I was just going to say.
I like college football. I'm like an Old Miss fan.
Oh,
yeah. Right, go Rebs. Yeah.
So you started this out as a jock. You chose the Owl. It wasn't trans because of the feathery coating. It was a sports thing.
Yeah, exactly. Then my missus started telling me about the whole sort of trans thing and how it was a danger to women. And I've always been a live and let live kind of guy.
Yeah.
But she pointed out from the standpoint of a woman, a bloke in a dress is still a bloke, regardless of what they think. And women have the right to spaces which are sex-based. Without
like a toilet.
Toilets.
Because a bloke in a dress shouldn't be able to go in a fucking woman's toilet.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. So just because you put on woman costume and believe you're a woman, still, fine. You get your own space.
Yeah.
But don't come into a woman's space. So it was my missus who got me.
What if you were born as a woman and you've had the full sex change?
Then you become a man. Well, from a
man. Sorry, born as a man, had the full sex change to become a woman. Are you then entitled to go to the women's toilets, in your opinion?
Well, there's two issues. There's one, if you hold a GRC, a gender recognition certificate, or gender reassignment certificate, then there are certain. You have the right to be treated as a woman in all cases except, and then there are a list of exemptions. And changing rooms, toilets, etc., are open for debate. You do not have to. You do not have to. No, it's my understanding of it. But that's not the point. With gender, with self-identification, you don't need to go through any of that. You just say, I'm a woman, and I'm a woman. You know, put on a bit of mascara, put on your best lippy.
That would work in prison, though. You can go dressed in, in America, you go in dressed in as a woman, but you still go in the man's prison.
Born with is what you get sentenced to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in this country now, if you're a man in a woman's prison, sorry, a man in a man's prison, you can say, I am a woman, and the prison authorities will put you in a women's prison.
There you go, tip number two for crims out there.
Yeah, you've got to go and get your shag on.
It's terrible. It's absolutely flipping bonkers. It's nuts, mate.
No, I agree. How prevalent is it? Of men dressed as women, saying they're women, and going in women's toilets.
Oh, yeah, it's prevalent.
Is that quite common?
Yeah, it's happening. And then the rapists are going in. Yeah, and raping again. Yeah, that is happening. That is literally happening.
And imagine if a woman's getting raped, she has to use minimal force. She can't stab the rapist in the neck to stop the rape.
Oh, yeah, it's just absolute bullshit. My friend Maria McLachlan was at Hyde Park Corner talking. She was a woman's thing. And she was attacked by a trans woman called Tara Wolf. She was thumped. Tara Wolf was taken to court.
Can you just give a bit of background as to why that incident occurred?
I'm just going to use the toilet.
It occurred because I can't remember what Marie was talking about, but she was at Hyde Park Corner with a bunch of women talking about women's rights, and the trans person took offence to it, and there was a kerfuffle, and Maria got thumped. So the Tara Wolf was taken to court, and Maria was describing the attack and said, he did this, he did that, and then he hit me. And the judge said to Maria, will you stop misgendering Tara Wolf? And Maria said, but I can't do that, my lord, because I know that I was attacked by a man. It wasn't a woman who attacked me. I suffered male-on-female violence. So how can I call them a woman? Now, Tara Wolf was found guilty, but, get this, the judge gave them a lesser sentence because of the gross disrespect that Maria had shown to her assailant.
That's gross disrespect shown by the judge.
Of course it's gross disrespect shown by the judge. Absolutely. Absolutely gross disrespect. It's pathetic. And for me, were I in that situation and the judge told me to do that, My response would be, with all due respect, Your Honour, go fucking do one, because I'm not having it. I'm not going to change my language to pacify this criminal bloke. I'm not doing it. I am simply not going to do it. If you want to arrest me again, you want to have me for contempt of court and throw me in jail, I don't care. I am not going to call black white. I'm not going to call a man a woman. I am not going to call my assailant anything other than what I know to be true. It was a man. It was not a woman who did the attacking.
So you can dress as a woman, assault a woman, and get that as a mitigating circumstance in your sentence, can you?
Yeah, if the woman makes the mistake, disrespects the identity. Yes, absolutely.
That is insane.
It's completely and utterly insane, isn't it? Absolutely, it's absolutely crazy. What world is this? This is upside down world. This is topsy turvy world. This is absolutely off the scale bonkers world.
All right, so you're talking now chronologically about your Twitter. You said it came about football.
Yeah.
Your wife brought this matter to your attention.
Yeah.
Were there other factors that motivated you to start tweeting about this? Did you do some research on it, or did you speak to anyone else about it? I'm just trying to build a picture up here of what led to the non-crime crimes.
Yeah, well, once you start looking, you can't help but see it. You just see it and thinking, hold on a minute. You've got you had the ridiculous situation where Hampstead Heath has always been a woman's swimming pond there, and men decided to start self-identifying and going into the women's pond. And that can't be right. So some of the women decided that on a Friday they would put on false beards and go and enter the men's pond. Much to the surprise of the authorities at Hampstead Heath. But they were making a point. They called it Man Friday. So every Friday they would go and they would put on their fake beards and go along and say, I'm a man. Let me in this all man thing. And look at the looks on their faces. So there was that. And I thought, these women have been very, very brave. Very brave. And then I noticed that I didn't understand why men weren't speaking up, because I kept hearing this: trans women aren't safe in men's spaces. Men, trans women are getting murdered by men. And I'm thinking, I just don't believe it, because any bloke that's ever been into a urinal in their life, we go in there, we don't talk to one another, we sit, we do our thing, staring at the wall or whatever, and we leave, don't we?
After a few shakes.
Yeah, a few shakes.
And wash your hands afterwards.
Yeah, wash your hands afterwards. And we leave. We don't sit there discussing. We don't have a toilet culture, do we? We don't do that.
No.
And if a bloke in a dress walked into a toilet, you'd just be slightly embarrassed. You'd look, you'd stare at your, you know, spare a drop of water for the people of Ethiopia, and you'd come out and text your Fiverr donation, and you'd get the hell out of there as fast as possible.
Well, there's actually clubs in Liverpool now where they have mixed women and fellas use the same toilet. But that's women in a dress.
Yeah, but nobody asks the women. Nobody asks the women.
No.
Nobody asks the women. Because the women don't matter. That's the truth of the matter is, women don't matter. This...
They're confusing them. I went to one of them in Texas.
Yeah.
I was high on a bunch of drugs, and I looked around, and I ended up pissing in a sink.
There's a few of the clubs now that we see unisex the toilets.
Yeah, but I tell you what, the unisex toilets aren't there because the women want them. They're there because men in dresses want them.
Ah.
And everybody's so scared of being called a transphobe that they don't object. My friends launched the LGB Alliance this last week as an alternative to Stonewall. One of the girls was in the bar afterwards with a LGB Alliance T-shirt on. That was it. She got asked to take a top off or leave because it was exclusionary to trans people. Bullshit.
No.
Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. By the same token, Stonewall sell T-shirts that say, I'm trans, get over it. Well, why is that not exclusionary to people who are bi or people who are, you know, the standards are double... And they stink. And when you see it, you can't unsee it. You just can't unsee it. And partly because I'm an ex-police officer, I look, and as soon as I caught sight of what the police were getting involved and making comments and seeming to involve themselves politically, and it seemed to me that they were siding on the trans side at the expense of women, I then started taking more of an interest and more of an interest. And thinking that I had a right to tweet, which I do, knowing that I wasn't targeting anybody, I wasn't going at Oh, you great tranny fanny. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to bloody get you, you great big puff. All that. I wasn't doing any of that nonsense at all. I was arguing. Sometimes,
that was me. Hey, don't you choke it.
Sometimes with sarcasm. Sometimes I was being very sarcastic. Sometimes I was being sardonic. Sometimes I was just being...
Doesn't matter how you was. It's
doesn't
your,
matter.
Your opinion. You,
exactly.
You have a right, God-given right, to express your opinion.
And Mr. Justice Knowles in the High Court said quite clearly that free speech has to embrace speech that people don't like. It cannot simply be things that we all agree on, like, ooh, or aren't all kittens fluffy? It's exactly. got to involve speech that is at times upsetting, controversial, all the rest of it. The line in the sand, as far as I'm concerned, is where you target people. So if I'd been going at somebody, ah, you tranny bastard, ah, you look like a complete wanker in that makeup. But if I've been doing that...
Yeah, like gay bashing, that's wrong.
Of course it's wrong. And if I'd been targeting an individual, but I wasn't. Now, the way they frame it is that debate is hate. That's what they say. So if we debate it, it means that we are hating it. No middle ground. Debate is hate. Okay? So the second you go on and say, well, hold on a minute, just one second, they go, you're questioning my... You are questioning my right to exist. You're a Nazi. Like, well,
that.
hold on a minute. What's that got? No, do you think that I'm not like that other woman? I am a woman. I'm a woman like your wife is a woman. Well, no, you're not. You're a hateful bigot. Police, hateful bigot alert. And the police, rather than going piss off, they come and interview you.
Some of the best colleges and universities have debate teams, don't they?
Not any longer, mate. Not any longer, because you can't debate anything now unless it's absolutely bland as hell. You can't do it. You can't host a debate that says this house believes trans women are not women.
What we should do is get someone here to debate you.
You should do that.
Like maybe androgyny.
Yeah, you get whoever you like. I will come and debate.
Androgyny, do us a favour. Come and talk to this man for us, please, and we'll have a debate.
Androgyny, I'm watching you, and the people have watched you on my podcast, and I watched a video that you said you're watching me today, and I'd just like to say I'm loving what you're doing. It's hilarious, your thumbnails of me and John Wedger. I've got a big long wig on and lipstick.
He's two-faced. Come and do it for me, love.
Have you ever worn any lipstick, Harry?
You know what? I have. I have put on full-on sort of Cinderella gear in the past.
I have. That.
For a laugh. That's it. Yeah. Just for a laugh. To make me mates laugh. That's it. I didn't suddenly, magically become Cinderella.
So you're not completely averse to wearing feminine items then?
I can't get
no, no,
I can't get dressed as big enough.
If you want to put on some female items, then you know, fill your bloody boots, mate. I don't care. I really don't care. However, tell me the difference. Can you tell me the difference why getting dressed up as a woman is absolutely fine and good fun, but putting on blackface is wrong?
Blackface?
Yeah.
What's blackface?
Blackface, getting dressed up, blacking up. Blacking up like, you know, the minstrels and stuff like that. Because we all know that is not acceptable. Absolutely wrong. Justin Trudeau was caught doing it. Mr. Woke himself. Okay, it's wrong. But why is it okay? Why is it not okay? And I don't think it, by the way, I don't think it is okay to put on blackface.
I think it's a symbol of colonialism. And I just watched that movie, Just Mercy.
It goes back to roots.
Seeing the institutional racism in the American justice system, I saw how the blacks get brutalised.
Yeah.
So I see, you know, I see why they would not want any symbols of that.
Yeah, yeah. But do you not see how women have been brutalised throughout the years?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we interview...
So what's the difference?
We interview people on this channel and we've had, you know, like Maggie Olivet, the girls who got brutalised by the grooming gangs. And the police resources, you're telling me, millions are going into non-crime crimes. And Maggie Oliver's telling us this stuff's going on all over the country, the grooming gangs.
And the police
are doing nothing
that.
About it.
Denying it.
They're denying it because their policies have been captured. Okay? They have been... Oh, my God. They've just become crazed. They've just become maddened. They've become somehow bewitched that what is plainly obvious they can't see and the bullshit that somebody else tells them, that's all they see. It's It's weird. It's like somebody's cast a spell. So, of course, we know. We know there are grooming gangs. They knew there were grooming gangs. But because of I don't know, this misguided loyalty to equality and diversity.
I think it's because there's not many white grooming gangs. I think it's because they're mainly like Pakistanis and that as well. It brings another thing into it. They presume it's racist, even though it's true. Because there isn't many white grooming gangs, is there? Generally, it's Pakistanis.
Well, there may well be white grooming gangs. We just don't call them grooming gangs. I think there's been plenty of instances of white grooming gangs. But that point aside, you cannot look away just because it is the thing that you are looking at is coming from a group with a protected characteristic.
Yeah.
And the protected characteristic being either religion or ethnicity. You can't go, oh my God, because this is what it gets back to, without fear and favour. If you're operating without fear and favour, then you just deal with what is in front of you, and you don't give it any special favour, and you don't operate under any special fear, because it happens to be this group which are perpetrating it.
If the normal PCs are being told by the higher ups you could only do this and only do that, though, they can only follow orders, can't they?
Yeah, this is why I am.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
you're
that's why I'm reluctant to criticise. This is why I'm reluctant to criticise the Bobby who did the whole, you know, I've been on the course, lady brain thing.
Because
he's just a Bobby. He's just doing his job, and with the best will in the world, he's gone on a course thinking that this is good, proper course. This is good, and he's bought it hook, line, and sinker. And that's why, as far as I'm concerned, we go after the higher echelons. Yeah. Of the police.
And who's at the top? Who's mandated this to be nationwide?
You don't know. You know that Stonewall have been involved. You know that previous Home Secretary...
Who's behind Stonewall? Is it a Soros operation?
I'm not really big into the sort of conspiracy theories at all.
Did Epstein kill himself?
Oh, fuck off, I went to see. This is not up, I went to see. That. Keep that from down London.
The problem with Stonewall is, okay, Stonewall was set up to fight for gay rights, gay, lesbians and bi rights. Fine. Now, largely that war is won. But they've got all these people who are employed.
Set up by who?
Well, it was I think Simon Fanshawe and Ian McKellen and people like that set it up originally back in the day.
And who were they? Politicians?
No, they're actors and, you know, Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, Simon Fanshawe, I watched him speak. Yeah,
there was a whole bunch of people. And they set it up because it needed setting up.
So it's been hijacked.
And yes, because it had to keep feeding itself. Because what do you do when the reason that you exist... When you win that battle. Oh, LGB, we ain't got anything to do now. So we better create the T. And let's have endless sustainability into the future by having LGBTQI++. Because with an infinite number of gender identities, you've just guaranteed your work for the next 1,000 years. Because at some point, I'm going to identify as a poached egg. Somebody somewhere is going to identify as a poached egg, and then the fight is on. If they say they're a poached egg, they're a poached egg.
And that's exactly how bureaucracies self-perpetuate, because when the work dries up, they have to create more work for themselves. And quite often, that work... is by creating the problems that they were supposed to solve. So they create the problems.
Let's create a new problem.
Make it bigger. Yeah. Sell more bombs. Go to war.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to. We can't say the job is done. We can't do it. We can't say it because we've got mouths to feed. We've got mortgages. We've got status.
It's the fact governments make money on war.
Yeah, and everything else. Every bureaucracy, like the DEA, has to keep the drug war going. Yeah. As they expand all over the world.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They want to end the drug law. They say we joined to get the pedos, murderers, rapists, and we were assigned to, you know, bust kids with weed, criminalize them, throw them in these brutal prisons. What do you feel about the drug war?
I have so little experience of drugs and the drug war, I can't even comment on that.
Okay.
I'm not going to bullshit my way on that one.
Let's go back to Twitter and lipstick then.
Twitter and lipstick. I'm a world expert on Twitter and lipstick. Trust me. Absolutely, I am. Yeah. So crack on.
Tell me, Harry, did you get a semi when you was putting that lipstick on?
Do you like Hooker Red?
Are we past the watershed yet? Are we past the watershed? Did I? Honestly, what? I thought this was.
It made like, your nipples hard, didn't it?
I can see you in like Hooker Red.
That's not my shade. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll wear it.
It's not my shade. I tell you what, I do look pretty damn fine, though, with, you know, a light, nice... Well, I did 10 years ago. Not so much these days. These days, I just look like a fat balding bloke. Cinderella wig. But back in the day, mate, little known fact, I was once Mr. August in Take a Break magazine.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. So how about that?
Can people Google that?
No, I don't think so. It was before Googling things existed. Okay. I think pretty much. Yeah. I was once them. So you know, just saying. I can sort of sign autographs, whatever. I'm available for work, ladies.
I was known as the Menace Society.
Why do I believe that?
That's what Judge told me.
Oh my goodness. And you interviewed my mate Sonia Pond, didn't you?
Oh my goodness, I love Sonia. She is the flame. Yeah,
I love
her. She's absolutely brilliant.
Is she an actual flame? Is that what her religion is?
No, it's not like a new identity.
It could be.
You're going to say, I identify as fire.
Yeah.
I identify. Honestly, they'll be like, fantastic. Okie dokie.
All right. So we're getting close to the end now.
Thank God, honestly. Seriously. I'm starving.
We understand where you're coming from and we agree with you. And hearing these tweets, we fully believe in freedom of speech and it's got completely out of control. Now, all people, there's such an eclectic mix of people out there. And I appreciate the rights of all people. I like to say that. And as far as with androgyny, the intersex person, she does it videos about myself. Let's just call them constructive criticism. And I appreciate what she's doing, but I think she would be good to come in and perhaps debate with you if she's out. Then she would like to do that.
I think she's just being honest.
Everyone needs a gadfly, but.
There'll be somebody out there who wants to debate me. Definitely.
Because you're a really good speaker. You've got that energy about you.
Yeah. And also, Mr. August.
Mr. August.
It's the chance to be in the room with Mr. August from Take a Break magazine.
And you get to put some Prozzy Red on him.
Oh, right. That is such a sexist Prozzy. That is so sick. You don't get to say Prozzy. Oh, my goodness.
You're leading me astray.
I'm not.
It's your influence.
It's Wendy over there.
It's a thought crime, hate crime, non-crime.
Who can
crime,
hate crime, non-crime?
Wilma. Wilma.
Yeah.
So, there's thousands of people watching this. How can they help you? How can they support you? What can they click on? Can they contact you?
Yeah, what they can do.
We're going to put all your links below the video.
Yeah. Click on the links. But you can follow us at We Are Fair Cop on Twitter. You can go on to www.faircop.org and find our websites, and that's how to follow us.
That's how to follow you.
Yeah. Now there is also apparently, because Harry the Owl is banned from Twitter, so you know obviously I ain't going to break the rules by having an alternate account.
You would never do that.
That would be a but there is somebody on Twitter I believe called Harry the Owl 101, who
is a transgender.
Yeah, that's Harry the Owl 101. Purports to be someone who thinks that they are close to me. I don't know who this imposter is, and if I find them, I'm gonna have them. I really am, because you know, if you wanted to follow that account,
it's not Harry. It's his female Siamese twin.
It's definitely not me. But yeah, at Harry the Owl 101.
And if you want to follow Peter on Twitter, it's at Wild Man of Witness. Do you ever go on Twitter live, though? We set you an account.
No, I thought it was at Wilma the Wild Man. at Wilma the Wild Man of Witness.
And in the description box below this video, we've got Wild Man's playlist, all of his videos and his co-interviews. If you have Subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that. Subscription logo is in the bottom right hand corner.
I'd like you to buy me t-shirts too, because I'm getting a real fat bastard now, and I want to go on this all meat diet where you just eat steaks and that, and I need coin for it.
There is a link to his t-shirt.
Buy me t-shirts, please.
Below the video, there's a link to the books. We've got 13 books out now. If people want to contact you, what's the preferred method to contact you?
Do it through the website. Do it through the website. They can get hold of me.
His phone number is.
Yeah. 999. Yeah, but we are going to be doing a speaking tour at some point this year. And if there are any Americans out there who would like me on their podcast to talk about all things free and free speech and liberty and the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, if you like, we can talk about all those things. I am available.
And while he's out there, please school him on home invasions and the correct techniques.
Yes.
Not minimum force.
Minimum force. I'm English.
Baseball bat.
Arizona prison handshake. Is that? That? And then bump fists.
I'm giving the hug.
Come on, then. You fat bastard.
Threesome. Wilmer.
You're Wilmer. I don't know.
Yeah, brilliant. That's it. Excellent.
I enjoyed that, lads.
That went quick.